Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Zinger Nation, jam-packed show today.
What is up, Zinger Nation? Happy Friday, everyone. It's your boy, producer AB here.
Get access to actionable news and market research with all the information you need to invest smarter and profit faster. Start your free trial today at pro.benzinga.com.
Jamie, welcome to the Power Hour. So Jamie, tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into the Wall Street Bets madness.
I don't know what you want to know. I'm like an entrepreneur at heart, economist and computer engineer, but I guess I'm most known for having started and created Wall Street Bets. I'm very involved with all things related to the stock market since, you know, it's been at least over a decade. Starting to work my way into crypto, heavily kicking myself for not realizing, for just assuming they were coins whose values went up and down, not realizing some of the mechanics of what's possible with it. So I'm getting myself involved in that world, but, you know, married, I'm a dad.
You're married?
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
So you said you've been investing in trading for about a decade. What kind of spurred you to get into it?
You know, and so I start Wall Street Bets in 2012. Shortly before then, I'm working at this big international bank, and I'm getting paid really well. I get my 401k or Roth IRA, and I have all these, you know, perks that come along with it. But I also had just money left over, right? Like, just there were a few things that I was interested in having, just mainly a car and a place to live. And outside of that, decided to put this money to work and understand that if there's higher risk, there's higher potential return, and start looking for places that wanted to talk about this type of approach to the market. And they're just, you know, wasn't most places are either, hey, this is the way that you should take traditional investing, really conservative, low fees, diversified, blah, blah. Or you can go to the other extreme, which is these professional traders that sit there in front of the screen all day long, just looking at chart patterns. And they haven't, you know, it's a profession. It's a discipline around that. I really wanted somewhere in the middle, which is like, look, I want to keep my job, but I want to see if I can hit the lottery ticket or at least make my extra money grow. So that's kind of what happens. And turns out after Create Wall Street Bets, there's just a lot of demand for this type of thing, because inherently it starts growing and growing and growing organically without really doing any advertising. There was a lot of people in my same shoes, and every year it doubled in size until last year it was at about 2 million users before, you know, GameStop happened, at which point it just exploded to like 10 million people.
So, Jamie, were you already on Reddit before you started this subreddit, or were you looking for a place to kind of start a trading community?
I was already on Reddit, and that's why I picked for starters, I started Wall Street Bets on a number of different social networks, but most of them were just accounts that I owned, like the Twitter and you know, Facebook and IRC channels and, you know, chat rooms, basically. But Reddit was the place where I wanted to create the home for this. Big fan of Reddit. You know, I'd been a part of a lot of the things that they had done up until that point. I had migrated over from the days of starting with /dot to dig, and then eventually Reddit was much better than all those. And so I decided that would be the place for it.
Yeah. And then, so I remember kind of when Wall Street Bets started taking off last year around COVID time, and there was more people trading and trading options, really. Like, people got infatuated with seeing people's crazy returns. And obviously, so I got the page pulled up right here. And I'm surprised, because back then, like, every single screenshot was from Robinhood. And then recently, it hasn't been as much. Like, it seems like more other brokerages, you know, I don't know which one this is. I think this is E-Trade or something. But it seems like Robinhood and Wall Street Bets were kind of synonymous for a while.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. When Robinhood first came out, by the time Robinhood came out, I had already kind of figured out my trading strategy, right? I could still buy my scratch-off lottery tickets and understood they were insanely risky, but I would just put a little bit of money and hope to make a ton of money. But outside of that, I'd figured out kind of a sustainable trading strategy, which I could use to supplement my income. And a lot of that relied on good execution and bar charts, you know, like Robinhood didn't have bar charts. So I didn't like it. And the community just really liked the interface. Obviously, they liked the fact that it was free. They loved the easy to, you know, they break the options can be insanely complicated, or they can be as simple as they are on Robinhood, which is, do you think this stock's going to go up or down? And you answer with an arrow that's color coded and it kind of takes you to the right place. So there was hunger for that. And so I let it go. And sure enough, this group of people created their own kind of genre, which was in itself sustainable, what we're now probably referring to as meme traders. Right. Like, I've talked to so many people and I've met so many people that have sustainably, I'm talking years worth of a sample size, been able to make a lot of money. Obviously, not everybody does, but nobody, not even high frequency computers, make a lot of money. You know, like, there's always a subset of people that don't, but there's enough people that have made Robinhood type trading strategy successful. Roaring Kitty is a great example. You know, he doesn't care if a stock price, if he gets better or worse execution on $50,000 worth of call options, it turned into $50 million. And he's very correct. Whatever a few cents when you're talking about that. So Robinhood was there. And then obviously last year, the GameStop madness took place. And Robinhood had to make restrictions on trading GameStop, which angered a lot of people. So you still have kind of like a group of a subset of people that are angry at Robinhood, but I don't really look too much into it, because last year when the pandemic was kicking in, we had some of the most volatile days in market history ever. I mean, it was just lock limits up, lock limits down, like 10, 11 in a day. And Robinhood had suffered an outage there where it's just their platform, right? And that to me was unforgivable. It's like, dude, this is completely on you. And people obviously lost money and they got angry at them, but then they forgot. They moved on. The interface is really good. And with this GameStop thing, it really wasn't like every major broker had to do it. It wasn't just Robinhood.
I know.
So, you know, like, if they can go to whatever competitor they want to and Google what happened back in GameStop, and they'll realize, oh, they did it too. Like,
right.
Because it was a regulatory issue.
It's just crazy to me that kind of how Robinhood gets such a bad rap for that name. And I think it was just because at the time, most of the AMC GameStop traders were on Robinhood. But I mean, exactly the same thing, like whether you've been on Webull or TD, you know, it kind of was the same thing. But
Charles Schwab, Vanguard, you know, like, they all had to restrict. I mean, all of them different capacities, but they all had the same regulatory issue that they were facing.
What I do remember, though, as you mentioned, like right when COVID hit and we saw kind of volatility and liquidity like we had never seen before, I remember I was on Robinhood trading, and there were many days where, say, I had open option contracts from the day before, and I'd wake up, you know, before market open, wait, and then as soon as the market opened, like, nothing would load, you know, and I'd just be like, okay, great, like, I have these options that are doing really well, but I can't sell them because I can't get into my Robinhood account. And that was before You know, even the GameStop, AMC, all that stuff happened. That was just last year in March when the COVID crash happened. So, you know, maybe that should have been a sign for me at the time, like, hey, find a new broker. But it always worked well for me, and I love the interface. So I'm actually still on it, but I do have a couple accounts at other places.
Well, I mean, first of all, that's another good point, right? They're not mutually exclusive. You don't just need to use one broker. A lot of people use multiple brokers anyways because they trip the pattern day trader rules. They don't have 25 grand in their account, so they just kind of switch from broker to broker. But you know, you're a perfect example. People just love it for some reason. And I think it's the interface. I think it's just really comfortable. And that to me is a much more unforgivable incident, all of which they've learned, by the way, right? Like, I think Robinhood really has done something. Like, all of these conversations are possible thanks to them. So we can't lose track of that. All the other brokers now have to offer free commissions because of Robinhood. So some credit is due there. But yeah, they've had some growing pains, and they had growing pains before that where sometimes it was in the user's favor. Let's not forget the time where the people exploited box spreads, which eventually morphed into what they called the infinite leverage or the free money cheat code, right? Which is like,
yep,
they took advantage of these asymmetries and they pretty much put the risk on the broker, and they themselves were just, you know, they had a chance to give a banks a taste of their own medicine type thing. But that's an example of them kind of also going through learning pains, which worked in the customer's favor. So I don't know. Like, I think that Robinhood is a historic, no matter what happens from here on out, that what they've done is just they've cemented their place in history. And I'm not worried about people going away because of what you just told me, right? Everyone's pretty much in that same boat.
Yeah, I mean, look, like you said, it's not mutually exclusive. You can have different brokerage accounts. I actually pulled up my Robinhood portfolio on stream earlier because I was kind of in the mood to make a YOLO meme trade. And I was like, essentially, this is my YOLO trade account. Like, I have my long-term investing accounts in other places. This is the one where I like to just kind of make fun little options trades that, hey, I know there's a good possibility that the whole trade expires worthless. And honestly, for that purpose, Robinhood works perfectly. Like, I can very easily, you know, buy a call or put option a couple of weeks out, and it's super easy. I don't have to, you know, my other brokerage accounts, like, I've tried trading options in them before, and it's not that it's impossible, or it's not that I'm
click and click.
Right. It's not that it's impossible. It's not that I can't learn how to do it on Interactive Brokers. It's just that it's easier on Robinhood.
Yeah. No, and I think a lot of people sympathize with that, and I think that's why I think that what they've done is great. And look, they're continuing to innovate, right? Last I heard, they're trying to get into private investments, which I think would be just earth shattering, right? Because that's got a lot of regulatory headwinds ahead of that. But if they break through that, that is so important for the democratization of finance, right? They're starting to get into crypto as well, and then once again, that's something that I really think is the most under talked about aspect today, and it's one that I directly said no crypto on Wall Street Bets, because crypto is just another asset class it's uninteresting and it's still in its infancy, so the execution itself is not very good, and people just like to talk about how much Bitcoin costs, and that's not interesting either. But by golly, if I'm wrong, like, did you know, or at least I just found out, that on the blockchain you can have these things that are called variable leveraged ETFs. I know that you said earlier that you don't like ETFs, but I'm not talking about like the basket of goods type of ETF. I'm talking about these synthetic, whatever you call them, exotic things where you say, I want to have 3X exposure to Tesla, right? So I want to buy 3X exposure to Tesla ETF. And then there you have some leverage without stock options. Like, that's the type of ETF I'm talking about.
You're talking about the cryptos that are essentially like mirroring stock assets. You know, you can buy in the crypto on the blockchain, like a 3x levered Tesla ETF.
Yeah, I mean, first off, you have the crypto mirroring the assets from Wall Street or from any street, really. Korea, you can buy Samsung, whatever. But yeah, above that, it's creating a 3x leverage one, and this may be a little bit technical, so I'll try to simplify it. But when those exist in normal Wall Street also, these 3x levered ETFs, and you buy it, it's got a ticker symbol, and you can buy a 3x levered China for bull and bear called Yin and Yang, right? Like, it's got cute names and everything. But the problem with those ETFs is very technical. They kind of have this nasty side effect where in the long term they go to zero, right? Due to something called volatility decay, something that I've been keeping my eyes out for decades. Like, crypto people figure that out. They're like, dude, don't make it 3x, make it variable, right? And so without getting into the math, they fixed a huge problem that Wall Street has had since it started, right? And that's just one of a million examples where they're making things better. 24-hour day trading, get rid of gap risks. You know, make sure that everyone's constantly rebalances. Like, that's a systemic risk for normal Wall Street that doesn't exist on the blockchain. I'm talking about people that are trading at 2 a.m. I'm talking about, you know, prices that can't gap up above your stop price, right? Like, that's important for we've had a lot of bad things happen because of gaps.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that's one of the biggest allures to the crypto markets is that it never closes. You know, Saturday night, you want to day trade some Doge, you can do it. You know, you can't do that with stocks, but definitely. Yeah, I mean, the ETFs, I didn't mean to say like I don't like ETFs at all. Like, I'll trade them. Like, I have this one pulled up. I think the Yin and Yang one you were talking about is also from Direction. They have a bunch of good levered ETFs. This is a home builders and supplies bull. So I traded this one a few months ago when, here, let me go to the longer chart, when kind of just like all the lumber prices were going crazy and everything. It seemed like I bought it basically here on this rip, and it's kind of sold around up here, and then it's fallen off since then. But these leverage, they're fun to play, but they're definitely riskier. And now actually on Robinhood, they have like a little disclaimer when you go to buy a leverage ETF, it'll say this asset is leveraged, you know, like not for beginner traders.
But it's not even about like the 3x leverage, not even not beginner, because it can lose three times faster. It's because you're going to lose with 100% certainty. Like, I'll tell you what this chart looks like the moment that lumber stops trending. So the moment that lumber starts ranging, meaning like it just stays at the same price and it goes up and down a little bit every day, the price of this ETF is going to go to zero, right? You get to see the opposite when it's trending. When the lumber is going up, this thing goes up exponential. So you have like a compounding effect, but then you have the inverse of the compounding effect when it's not ranging, when it's not trending. When it's ranging, you get this decay where it makes it go to zero. And that's what all ETFs, that's why they all have to do with these reverse splits all the time, because they're like trading pennies and they can't even track the percentages properly when they're 2 cents. And so they have to do a reverse split, and then there you go.
Yeah, that's why if you look at this one, this is the Gush 2x levered, basically oil. So it's at, so if you zoom in on the chart, it doesn't look too crazy. It's fine. But if you zoom out, you can see back here, it was $16,000 a share, and now it's $67 a share.
And to be fair, it was never worth $16,000. It just reversed, you know, this chart is making up for the reverse merger. Sorry, reverse splits.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, but all leverage ETFs end up like that. And what the crypto people figured out is how to make these things so that they go to zero, but it takes a lot longer.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Before it goes to zero, I'm talking probably never. It'll lose value, but you know, but by the time it's lost enough value, it'll start trending again, and then you'll get the compound effects to offset that. So I don't know. That's just one of a million examples. Like, another thing that I'm really getting into is, well, first, taking advantage of the community. Somebody did a study from big name school, an academic level study where they before GameStop, and they said, we're picking all the stocks they're talking about on Wall Street Bets and comparing them against the comparing it against the market. And we're going to see if you guys do better or not. And it turns out, are you still there?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I'm just looking at myself. So they did this study and they, you can put me back on the screen. That's fine. I just wasn't sure I was there. They did the study and it turns out that the community does actually beat the market against the index, the stocks that they were picking, they were better. And so I said, okay, well, why don't we take community aspects where this is obviously the case, and we can take crypto, which I believe can do more things, and we can mix asset classes. So you can put Bitcoin and Tesla and Samsung, right, and gold or whatever, just all these different things, throw it into an ETP, these portfolios, but it's based off of the community's decisions, right? These community that's proven that they can beat the market. And I don't know, we'll see where that goes, but I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting. I know throughout the whole, when the market started ripping from last COVID, that was something that even the mainstream kind of financial media, CNBC, was talking about, that the retail investors were actually outpacing, institutional investors on returns. And real quick, while we're on the Robinhood subject, I'll go back to the chart real quick, see what it's trading at. But I do think another criticism that is kind of overblown, which I told you the story about how I couldn't even trade like some of my assets on Robinhood. That was before even the big GameStop, AMC. Like, there's certainly, the platform's not perfect, but I think one of the biggest criticisms that comes from the crypto community is people that talk about, oh, you know, you buy Bitcoin or Ethereum on Robinhood, you don't actually own it, you can only buy and sell it, you know, you don't have a wallet, you can't send it to anyone. And at the end of the day, I think a majority of traders, crypto traders, are just trying to trade it to make profit. They're not trying to like take the actual Bitcoin and then send it to someone, or at least that's the boat I'm in. So I don't necessarily care that I don't own that Bitcoin or whatever. I can still buy it and then sell it at a higher price, or maybe a lower price if it's a bad trade. But I mean, I get the criticism, but I'm just saying, I don't think it's that big of a deal for the average trader.
No, you're 100% right. And so the crypto community has this culture that's ingrained of a little bit of, what do you call it, when you're paranoid, and just it was born from this whole, you know, F the system and the central banks, whatever, with language that was really kind of activist based, right? But you're right, the majority of people, like, if you want to do things correctly, which is to have your thing and take advantage of this crypto technology, you have to open this wallet account and pick the right network, and you have to configure it with the different names, and you have to fund it with the correct type of thing. And if you send the Ethereum to the Bitcoin account, then it disappears because you have to be really careful, you know. And there's just, you have to go, like, I want to tell my mom about this coin that I've, well, this is DAP, really, it's a DAO that's doing all these things I described. It's like, I'd like to buy some, how can I? And I stopped and I thought about it. I was like, actually, it's probably best that you don't, right? Like, it's not worth me explaining it to you, all the steps you have to take. Obviously, we're going to solve that because we realized just what you said. A lot of people want to get exposure to the price action. Like, they're not, you know, let's be serious about what happens with brokers, these counterparty risks, they exist with brokers as well. You can own the stock or whatever, right? But the broker, or you can have your money with your broker, and you have like $260,000 cash, $10,000 above what's insured, and the broker can turn around and fail, and now you've lost $10,000 because the insurance only covers a certain amount. That type of risk exists with banks, exists with everything. So, you just hit the nail on the head. That said, I think that Robinhood's now on, you know, I keep hearing rumors about them also allowing the wallet so that people can do that too.
Yeah, I think they are going to end up doing that just to try to appease like the more serious crypto crowd that wants to be able to say they actually own it. But let's bring it back to Wall Street Bets real quick. Just a couple more questions and I'll let you go. So from what I understand, you founded it and then you kind of took a hiatus. You weren't with the community for a while?
So there's a lot of things that I've never actually gone out public, right? There's a lot of things that you can piece together from either conspiracy theorists or little blurs, but you've never really heard me talk about what's been going on with my life. And there's a pretty darn good reason for that. Most especially around the reasons of my eventual removal from Wall Street Bets. That same reason is also the reason why I can guarantee you with my firstborn child that you will never get the top moderators to show their face on this or any podcast ever. And there's a good reason for that, right? And so I've decided to stay quiet for the first year because of the good of the community. It's just, it really kind of diverts from the subject. Wall Street Bets is such a great community. There's 10 million people that I have nothing against. They're absolutely incredible. And I didn't want to really muddy the waters, but you know, I reached a point where I decided, I think I'm going to go public with my story and I want to do it the correct way. So at this point I've signed the rights to that story. And then the process of, you know, it's like a movie studio and then documentaries, TV series, whatever. So that's in the process of being done. And what happened during this hiatus and what happens during my removal and all these things are addressed with full transparency. So you guys will be able to see that next year.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, I've been saying that for a while now that I can't wait for kind of the documentary to come out about, not necessarily just about Wall Street Bets, but about the whole AMC GME thing, because, you know, everyone had their not own idea. I mean, it was very popular at the time, the whole, like, you know, Rage Against the Machine, small guy, David versus Goliath. And then, it turns out now looking at the data that actually a lot of institutions made a lot more money than even the retail traders in the whole AMC GameStop thing. So very interesting kind of seeing what like the storyline will end up looking like there. Yep. But yeah, I mean, what do you think about as far as the community on Wall Street Bets today, as opposed to maybe in its infancy or even back before just the whole COVID craziness and GameStop and AMC?
So I was a moderator of Wall Street Bets from the day that I created it up until a year ago, right? So this is close to a decade. And the most consistent thing that never changed about Wall Street Bets, continues to be the case, is the pace at which people would say, we miss the old Wall Street Bets, right? Like, this place is not what it used to be. And it was just because more people come in and grow and things change, right? Like you have things that are exogenous, like these brokers that are Robinhood, whatever, that change the landscape of these things. You have, you know, you have things that just change the conversation. Back when I used to trade stocks, I'm not living in the US anymore, so it's trickier for me to do it. But when I was super active with it, after hours was like from 4 o'clock to like 5 o'clock, and that's it. Now I'll go in and I'll look at SPY, like some of these index ETF, like they're trading at 3 a.m. I'm like, all right, so this is now a 24-hour stock. So I don't know what those things kind of change the fabric of it. So the community has constantly always been evolving. That's for sure. And it's part of what makes it resilient. I think that if the conversations were the same as they were when I started it, it wouldn't be as interesting as it is now. That said, I do feel that the current moderators are letting the sub get a little bit away from him, because the one thing that was also consistent was the spirit of the subreddit, right? And the sense of community and wanting to bring people with knowledge as well as people with thirst for knowledge together at the same place. Sure, playful banter, sure, with their own lingo, kind of, you know, feels like a exclusive club to get into, but you quickly get into it. It was just this inviting place for everyone. And that's really what made a lot of it magical. I'd say that has probably been the most palpable change since I left. It's just kind of the direction of the sub as a whole.
Yeah. I mean, like any community or group of people, you know, things will progress, change over time, but I've seen that sentiment a lot being passed along, that like the old Wall Street Bet, I miss the old Wall Street Bets essentially. So I just wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah, no, and you have a good reason to do it, right? Like there was a sense of the old Wall Street Bets, even when people would complain about it, because it's like, yeah, you know, this is, now we're allowing screenshots of the Robinhood, or now we're talking about, you know, allowing these memes, and people are like, oh no, we should go back to being serious. I'm like, no, just give it a try. Like, trust me, or trust the community, really. It's not even me. It's a community that's always been in charge of spearheading these changes as the landscape and the people grow. But there had always been just this common element of having it feel like home. And you could say, well, it's because it's so big, the eternal September, and, you know, 10 million people. It's like, yeah, but it was big at 2 million people too, and 1 million people, and 500,000 people. That's a pretty big community. And you still didn't lose touch with that kind of a belongingness feel that I feel is a little bit absent now. It's just more of just a lot of noise, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it's such an interesting, because I guess just all these things come together, you know, like first Reddit had to been able to be possible to make a community like Wall Street Bets. And then Robinhood had to be available to make free trading. And then COVID had to happen for everyone to be at home and trading on their phone. And then for AMC and GameStop to happen, all where Wall Street Bets kind of got roped in and be in the center of it. But there are all these moving parts that kind of just over time, like puzzle pieces, like fit together.
Yeah, no. And that's exactly what happened, right? Like there was no one thing that's like, well, so, you know, this, none of this would have been possible if it wasn't because of you. It was like, well, none of this, like it's not me that did this, right? Like it was a whole confluence of things. I was but a small part in this. And I'll still say that Robin Hood and the free commissions and this and that, like all this, these aspects, the one element that always was the most important is the community itself, right? Like before GameStop, people forget about this infinite money cheat code or the free money cheat code or infinite margin, whatever, where these guys figured out a loophole with Robinhood to get infinite margin. Prior to that, they figured out, like, you know, all these other exploits with regards to, oh, I don't know, I have to really, oh, with the Delta squeezes and the Gamma squeezes with, yep, stock options, right? Like we were on the cover of Business Week magazine and March of last year when they were talking about how Reddit can actually do these things. Like all these little exploits are all possible because of different individuals. You have Roaring Kitty for one, and then you have these other guys that did these other things, and who knows who's going to make the next one, but it's those people that really drive it. And I think that's what's most important.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I understand completely your hesitance to be, you know, out in the public. So we appreciate you coming on today. I know that's kind of one of the biggest things that we've found from like a media point of view trying to report on all this is that a number of the influencers or people behind the scenes are people that do want to stay anonymous and for good reason. I mean, we talked about the strength of the community, but also kind of what the flip side of that, what can happen when the community, you know, decides to go against someone, it can get kind of crazy.
No, like that's where I disagree. I was not anonymous while I was still a moderator of Wall Street Bets. I went out there with my identity. You know, I was anonymous for many years, but like 2018 or 2019, I was like, yep, this is me. I like wrote a book and, you know, started claiming this thing. There's good reasons why these guys want to stay anonymous above and beyond, hey, we're going to be big targets. Like when you have nothing to hide, you have no problem going out on TV, right? Like when you have really nothing to worry about, I'm here with a clean conscience being able to talk all day long. I can't say the same thing about everybody else that's left there. And I know the reasons why that, and they know the reasons why that is.
Yeah, right. I mean, your case might be different. I was more talking about just in general about all these different like people on FinTwit and stuff. A lot of these accounts are anonymous and they want to stay anonymous for good reasons.
Well, you know what I've learned? I've learned that a lot of these accounts, like they have more power with their username than with their actual real life name, right?
Yeah.
I'm working with this, you know, like I said, this WSB DAP. And there's a guy whose name is BTC VIX, and he's known in the crypto world as that name. And he's been on prominent podcast like Chat with Traders, which is, you know, an important stock trading podcast with huge viewership. Like, and he went on there as his username, right? And I've met the guy in real life. He doesn't have a problem with revealing his identity. Just there's now more power to this kind of this image next to his logo and the username. And that's kind of an interesting. Yeah.
That's funny. All right, Jamie. Well, thank you for coming on. I mean, I think this has been a very interesting talk. Like I said, I'm very excited about the documentary, the movie coming out about the story, because I think there's probably more to it that we're not getting today, but that we'll get in the future. And if there's anything else you want to leave our audience with before you go, please do.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I made reference to we're kind of uniting crypto with Wall Street, and we're making huge headway. In fact, we're in the process of redesigning the website, but we still can see what we're doing. If you go to wallstreetbets.net, you'll get an idea of what this decentralized organization is for the creating and minting of these ETPs, being able to do these single stock exchanges on the crypto and a bunch of other really exciting things. So I would say check that out. I'd say wait a week or so.
Oh, but on the website? All right. Well,
yeah, I mean, you can go to it.
Here, but yeah. I'll drop the link in the chat too. But we'll check back in a week and see if we.
You'll see all the details in a lot more clear. You know, it's obviously very memeified right now, and you have like the apes, and it's kind of like a video game feel to it. But what we're doing is just so much bigger that it just deserves to have kind of a serious, like a facelift that gave it a serious aura. So we're just finished doing that, and we'll have it up there, but check that out. And we're doing some really exciting things.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you again, Jamie, for hopping on with us. I'd be very happy to have you on again, maybe to talk about more developments in the story as far as, you know, what you have coming out on your end, any developments in the website and that kind of crypto synergy. So again, super exciting stuff. Thank you again.
Thank you very much for having me, Aaron. It was a pleasure.
No problem. Talk soon.
Bye-bye.
All right, y'all. That was Jamie, the founder of Wall Street Bets. Super interesting story there. Like he alluded to, we will get some more clarity on that story at a future date. So stay tuned for that. So hope all you guys have a good weekend, great weekend. And then next week, we'll get back to trading.
Get access to actionable news and market research with all the information you need to invest smarter and profit faster. Start your free trial today at pro.benzinga.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.